Pastor Curtis Dieterding, and you're listening to Scripture Readings and a sermon from Trinity Lutheran Church and School in Fergus Falls, Minnesota.
Our Old Testament reading for this Sunday, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, is found recorded in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 56th chapter, selected verses. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle for this day is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 11th chapter, selected verses. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the Alleluia in the verse. Gospel for this day is found recorded in Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, Send her away, for she's crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Tying right in with today's gospel, I'd like to share with you some thoughts on another reading from Matthew that used to be read every year. But with the new setup of readings and the way they changed them around, it's omitted. And I think it's too good to omit. So I'd like to share with you the first 13 verses of Matthew 8, and it's Jesus and healing. These are the two words that come out in our worship today. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. That's our text. Doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. We've heard that statement so often it's almost become a proverb. However, it is not true. Mrs. Jones sincerely believed that it was a bottle of medicine she took off the medicine cabinet shelf when she took a dose of it. It was poison. She died. Mr. Smith sincerely believed that he could beat the train across the railroad tracks. But he was wrong. He ended up in a tie with the engine. He was killed. Sincerity is a fine thing, but sincerity has to be properly directed for it to be of any value at all. And in religious matters, sincerity has to be attached to faith. And I don't mean just faith in general or faith in the future or faith in your fellow man, but faith in God. In fact, faith in the triune God. Because he's the only God who exists, the only God who has any power, the only God who shows love. All of the gods that people have for themselves do not show love. So I encourage you to direct your faith to the triune God, and you will have a faith that will help you solve life's problems. Now, it didn't take very long for the two men in our text to realize that faith could solve their problems. Now, here's a leper. You have to remember, this man is an outcast. He cannot even go to his own home. He cannot associate with anybody because people could get sick from him. The leper came to Jesus and asked to be healed, and lo and behold, Jesus healed him. That was it. The centurion came to Jesus, asked Jesus to heal his servant, and Jesus did that. But now let's look at the faith of each of these two men. The leper said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Notice, it's a strong faith with no doubt that Jesus could do the job. The only thing in question was it Jesus' will? The centurion's faith was very similar. He was sure that it wasn't necessary for Jesus to come to his home in order for his servant to be healed. Didn't have to do that. After all, he said, you know, if an army officer can say, go and a man goes, and come and a man comes, surely the Lord of hosts need only say the word and it would be done. To Jesus, this faith was beyond compare. He marveled at it. Even with these two examples of faith, and as much as faith is talked about in our world today, there's still a lot of misunderstanding about what faith is. Maybe the experience of a South Sea Island missionary can help us out in this regard. He was working on a translation of the Bible when one of the natives came in, completely exhausted, came into his office. However, the man had been working on the translation but couldn't find a word for the word faith in the native language. And the native came in, totally exhausted, and simply threw himself down in one of the lounge chairs in the office. And he said that it felt really good to lean his whole weight on the chair. Instantly, the missionary picked up on the word he used for put his whole weight upon. And that's the word he used for faith. And I believe that's an excellent definition for you and me, too. To lean completely upon God for life on earth and for life in heaven. That's what faith is. Too often, however, I think we're like the elderly gentleman out in West Virginia who, on his 75th birthday, accepted the invitation of a neighbor of his who happened to be an airline pilot. A neighbor invited him to go up in his own little plane for a plane ride and to fly over the town in which this man had lived for his whole 75 years. The man took him up on it. Well, when they got back on the ground, the young pilot said, well, were you afraid? No, not really, said the man. But I should tell you, I never did put my whole weight down on the plane. Now, we can smile at an answer like that, but you know what? I really think that for a lot of us, our faith is that way too. Many of us are much the same way in that regard. We say God is almighty and all-loving, that no matter what it is, he'll make it work together for our good. Oh, and we believe that until something goes wrong. You see, we seldom put our full weight down on these truths and let them make a difference in our lives. Actually, this weak kind of faith won't get us very far if we're not willing to do this. It won't solve any of life's problems. And it's not the kind of faith that we're talking about here today. It's the faith of the leper and the faith of the centurion that we're talking about here. The faith that puts its full weight on God's power and love and lets him have his way with us without grumbling. That will help to solve life's problems. Oh, you don't have any problems? Then I guess I'm wasting your time. Folks, we all have problems. Admit it. Take, for example, and you'll hear a lot of people being prayed for in our worship service today again, people who have physical problems. You know, when you're ill, or let's say in financial straits, your faith should take you to God in prayer, depending on God to help you, counting on him to help you. Like the leper, however, we always add, Lord, if you are willing. So you leave the advisability and the time up to God. That's his thing, not ours. You see, the reason I mention that is because sometimes God, in his great wisdom, realizes that it is better for us and for our faith and for our maturity to continue in our illness for a period of time, or in financial hardship for a time, or maybe even permanently. And I know that sounds cold and cruel. Many of you are probably saying, how can you say that? But thank God that many of you did not recover immediately from your illness upon sending one prayer to the Lord. I want to tell you that had that been the case, you probably would not be here today at worship. You might not even be in the kingdom of God. You see, you needed extra time. You didn't realize it, but God did. You needed extra communion with Him to learn to know Him and to depend on Him. And folks, that takes lessons as we go all through life to do that. So I would encourage you, start leaning your whole weight upon God and find out then what the Lord can and will do for you. Faith can also solve mental problems. If only we'd realize this, if only we would put that into practice. As long ago as World War II, and I'm sure I'm not quite the only one here that remembers that, almost one-fourth of the men examined for service were rejected. And about half of those who were rejected because of emotional difficulties. Imagine that. Almost an eighth of all the people who were examined had emotional problems. And today, the hospital administrators and doctors would tell you that about 50% of our hospital beds are occupied by people with mental and nervous disorders. And there's something terribly wrong with this. I believe that the former president of one of our Ivy League universities hit the heart of the matter when he said this. This has become the phenobarbital age because of national anxiety neurosis, which has developed through lack of spiritual values in life and education. Let me put it in English, okay? Because that wasn't really English. In other words, we're gradually losing our faith. And as we lose that, we begin to lose our mental composure and balance. That's how important faith is. The only answer is to get back to God. That's something which a well-known psychiatrist, Dr. Carl Jung, would agree with. And he agreed with it when he said this: I've never been able to effect a lasting cure in any of my patients until the patient has discovered a living and creative faith in God. That's pretty clear. A living and creative faith in God will give you a balanced mind, a mind that can face troubles and even tragedy in life without breaking, without cracking, without bitterness. A mind that can think and reason and even enjoy life. Because you see, faith puts spiritual pressure upon God, who in turn impresses His power and His love upon you. So lean your whole weight upon God. He will make a difference in your life, believe me. Faith can also solve domestic problems. They're all too common, even in Christian homes. And we read about them in our papers every day. There is bickering and biting, maybe the wife has a jealous nature, or just, let's face it, is a nag. But the husband gambles his paycheck away or comes home drunk from time to time. All of these put pressure on the home. They make home life very difficult. And the solution to that does not lie in what I heard someone say one day about his relatives, who would always twist things around and make mountains out of molehills so they could fight about it. He said they had too little education. Folks, I don't think that's the problem at all. Instead, it's because of their lack of Christian faith. There is the problem. You see, first of all, Christian faith checks these raw outbursts of anger and helps us to keep them in so that they aren't worse than they already are. Secondly, though sin is present in every home, and I make this point clearly, in every home, I don't care which one it is, Christian faith somehow counteracts the effects of that sin. And thirdly, Christian faith makes us more charitable, let's say when our spouse has wronged us, and makes us more willing to forgive and forget than to take the trouble to fight. There are lots of stories about people praying and not being answered. One of my favorites is about a Christian woman by the name of Monica. In the first century after Christ, Monica had a very serious domestic problem in her home in the person of her own son. He was, to put the best terms on it, a louse. Wayward and wicked, couldn't stand to be at home, would never listen to his mother, nothing. Many a time she would plead with him to change, but nothing happened. And it went on over the years. However, she never lost her faith, and she never stopped praying fervently for her son to change. And in his time, the Lord answered her prayer. He changed her son into a Christian who has since left his mark on the world. For he became Saint Augustine, one of the greatest of all the church fathers. Oh yes, there's power in the Christian faith for your family and for your home. Try it. You'll like it. Start leaning your whole weight upon God and let him do with you what he enables you to do. There's one more problem we haven't talked about yet, and that's spiritual problems. You may have had none of the others, but this one you do have, because everybody has the same spiritual problem. You may not have a mental problem, a physical problem, a domestic problem, but you do have a spiritual problem. My friends, like me, you are not perfect in all you think and do and say. Like me, you've missed the mark before God and have sinned. We confess that whenever we start our worship. And the Bible says to you and to me, your sins have separated between you and your God. And the wages of sin is death. And when it says death here, it means eternal death. So you can see we're in a very bad way. And we can't do a thing about it. Not a thing. We're not good enough to atone for our sin. The good we do isn't done often enough. We cannot appease God, so we're in a very bad way. In fact, we're headed for hell. And there is only one solution, and that is the one provided by God. Let me tell you about a pastor and his son. One day they were walking down a pathway when accidentally they stepped on an anthill. And the pastor said, "My boy, we've hurt and killed a lot of ants and we've ruined the place where they live. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could go down there and rebuild their house for them and help them start over?" The young lad answered, "Oh, Dad, it sure would." And the father replied, "You know what? To do that, we'd have to become ants. But that's exactly what God did for us, my friends. He came down into this world himself to help and to heal and to save us. He became like us, yet without sin. He became Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, the promised Messiah. First he gave his word and his gospel to repair our lives, and then he gave his life on the cross to save our souls. In this way he made atonement for our sins, all of them, so that we might be free and forgiven, so that we might inherit heaven with him. My friends, here is where your faith comes in. If you believe this, what was just said, then your spiritual problem is solved. If you believe this, your sins are forgiven, you're a child of God and an heir of heaven. Whatever you do, lean your whole weight upon God, not just a little bit of it. You see, faith is the key. Faith in the triune God who made us and who has saved us. Put your whole weight on him. Make him prove his love to you. He will. Absolutely depend on him for time and for eternity. And in his love, he will heal you and help you and save you for life with him. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus for life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for worshiping with Trinity Lutheran Church and School, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We are located at 1150 West Cavour Avenue in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, just behind the museum. On Sunday mornings, we have a worship service at 9 a.m. and adult and teen Bible classes at 10:30 a.m. To contact the church office, call 218-736-4869. To contact Trinity Lutheran School, call 218-736-5847. You can also visit us online at www.trinityff.org. If you would like to make a donation to help continue this broadcast, please call the church office at 218-736-4869. This is Pastor Curtis Dieterding encouraging you to go in peace and serve the Lord.